1 Timothy chapter 3, and after this text this morning, which is verse 16 only, we will have completed half of the book of 1 Timothy. So we have half to go yet. So let's read 1 Timothy 3:16 once again. Beyond question, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in the glory. Right here is a six-point sermon if someone wants to develop it. There are six things that you can talk about here. I'm only going to talk about one. I'm not going to talk about all six today. We're going to talk about great is the mystery of the incarnation. Some consider 1 Timothy 3:16 to be the heart of the book of 1 Timothy because it is at the center of the book and because of the great truths that it proclaims. Gordon D. Fee, in his commentary on 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, says that this is almost certainly a hymn or hymn fragment. This is a common belief among many scholars and commentators. In other words, they believe that this was an early Christian hymn, pretty much like Ephesians 5 and verse 14, and the Christ hymn of Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Those are all believed to have been early Christian hymns sung by the early believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, in the Truth for Today commentary, if you look at the application section, David Roper actually turned this into a song. He actually has it in there. I have no idea how the tune goes or we would attempt to sing it, but we're not going to because I have no idea how it would go. But this verse is about as close to an Apostles' Creed as you will find in the Bible. In this Christological creed of faith, Paul says, "Great is the mystery of godliness," and declares that it concerns the manifestation of God in human flesh. And this is a great matter. When was the last time you gave this great doctrine of the incarnation of the Son of God just 30 minutes of your thought? And don't let the word mystery throw you here, by the way. The term mystery simply means something that was unknown but is now known. The Old Testament was the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. We know this. And so this morning I want us to focus on the greatness of the incarnation of the Son of God. And as we do so, I want us to consider, first of all, the wonder of it. The wonder of it. God was manifested in the flesh. And this is truly one of the most incredible, extraordinary doctrines proclaimed in the Word of God. That the infinite God who fills all things, the God who was, the God who is, the God who is to come, the Almighty, actually condescended and clothed himself in the garments of our humanity. The infinite God became an infant. Eternity was blended with mortality. That baby that was born in Bethlehem was God. God came in Jesus as a baby. And he was embraced and he was touched. Man could literally put his hands on God. Listen to 1 John 1 verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That's incredible. God was touchable. God was touchable. Now, Mark Lowry, in his song, Mary, Did You Know, which is one of my favorite songs. I love the song. He wrote it on a napkin, gave it to a friend who put music to it. But what a marvelous song. And the song comes in the form of questions. And I just want to take you through these real quick. Just want to read the song. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. Isn't that something to think about? Wow. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Max Lucado, in his book, God Came Near, has a chapter titled 25 Questions for Mary. I want to give you three of them. The first one is this. Did you ever feel awkward teaching him how he created the world? Can you imagine Mary having the Torah and open to Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And day one, God did this. And day two, God did this. You know? And Jesus like, yeah, I fully understand this. Because he was the creator, right? What about this one? Did it ever occur to you that the God to whom you were praying was asleep under your own roof? Think about that. While Joseph and Mary are praying, they're praying to the God who's in the other room, sleeping. Because Jesus was God incarnate. My favorite is this one. Did you ever try to count the stars with him and succeed? If you were counting them with Jesus, you would succeed. He knows how many stars there are. Brethren, it's incredible but true. God was manifested in the flesh. Or as John put it, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this is truly a great matter. And that's why Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. No other religion in the world teaches that their God became human. This is unique to Christianity and to Christianity alone. And I hope and pray that all of us will get caught up in the wonder of it. But secondly, I want us to consider the humility of it. The humility of it. The revelation of God in the flesh becomes even more extraordinary when you consider that the Lord condescended to be put to death on a cross. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Brethren, the death on the cross was the most painful and shameful way that a person could die in the first century. While the Phoenicians were the ones who invented crucifixion, the Romans were the ones who perfected it. They were the ones who took it and made it a very cruel way to put a person to death. Deity hanging on a cross is mind-staggering when you think about it. And even more amazing when you consider that he allowed his own creation to place him on that cross. That's incredible. But the guilt of sin could have never been taken away if God had not come in Jesus Christ. Sin can only be removed by atonement, the atonement of a perfect sacrifice. There was no perfect sacrifice. The Bible says we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. So we were all sinners. So none of us could have been a sacrifice for anyone else because we had our own debt to pay. So Jesus Christ came in the flesh and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned, and therefore he was able to offer himself as a perfect sacrifice to God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, heaven's perfect lamb, took the sins of the people upon himself, and he offered himself to God on your behalf and my behalf. Brethren, the greatness of the manifestation of God in Jesus will appear if you will just stand at the foot of the cross and see your sins being punished there in the person of the incarnate God, because that's what was happening while Jesus was hanging on the cross. God was punishing Jesus in your place. He was punishing Jesus in my place. That's what the cross was all about. And then listen to these amazing words by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 1. This is what can be said of us who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you can't go to hell. If you're in Christ, you cannot die lost. Now, obviously, you can get out of Christ. You can choose to walk away from Christ. But if you don't make that choice, you cannot go to hell. You cannot die lost, because this verse says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you have been baptized into Christ, you are in Jesus Christ. And so may we never ever think lightly of the word made flesh, especially knowing that it is through his blood, his sacrifice, that we have access to God and an entrance into his eternal kingdom. And then I want us to consider the proclamation of it. The proclamation of it. Because as Paul says here, he was proclaimed among the nations. This is a great mystery, and it should encourage every one of us to preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere. No news can compare with the greatness of God manifested in Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, "When I am preaching the gospel, many say, 'Oh, he's only telling us commonplace truth.' And yet I feel within myself as if I was welling up God's great cannon, which will blow the gates of hell to pieces." And that's exactly what the message of the cross does. Don't ever think that the message of the cross is weak. It is powerful. And it's this great truth that God was made flesh and died for our sins. And it is God's power unto salvation. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so the gospel is God's power unto salvation. There is no other message. We talked about this in Bible class this morning as well. This simple truth that Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. That was his mission. And he tells us with his own words, "For the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And he did. And aren't you thankful that he did? And so I hope and pray that the gospel will become your jewel. It will become your treasure. It will become your life. And I pray and I encourage you, as Jesus encouraged his followers, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believes not will be condemned, the Bible says. And so, seeing the greatness of the manifestation of God in Christ should cause us to respond to his call if we've never responded to it. Paul proclaims that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. May the Spirit of God lead you to believe in the great Savior of great sinners, because that's who he is, and that's who we are. He is a great Savior, and we are great sinners, and we are in need of salvation. And maybe this morning you're in need of salvation. Maybe you've never responded to the wonderful message of God in Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song, and as we do, it's to encourage you to come. Come forward, confess your faith in Christ, be buried with him in the waters of baptism, become a child of God, enter into his kingdom. If you're in need of prayer this morning for something going on in your life, we pray that you will come and make that known. We would love to pray with you about anything that's troubling you. And the Bible clearly teaches that we're supposed to bring all of our concerns to the Father. And so if it concerns you, it concerns him. And therefore, come, make that known, and let us pray with you this morning. Come as we stand and as we sing.